abundantly. Take your Bible this morning. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. I gave on the slip of paper that I try to give to the fellows in the sound booth, and I gave the wrong verse, fellows. So y'all got Isaiah 9. It's not the verse I gave you. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, all right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. In preaching this series about the Lord Jesus Christ, we've come to this verse several times, all right? And we'll come back to it again, all right, before we get through. The Bible here says to us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." We want to stop right there. The Mighty God. You know, the Bible gives a number of names for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, hey, we find five different names just in this verse alone, all right? Five different names that the Bible told us, hey, he would be called these names, names like Wonderful and Counselor. Others are Prophet and Priest and those kind of names. Those names really don't raise a lot of interest today. And even while he was here on the earth, they really didn't either, all right? He was a prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ was a prophet, and the world didn't get excited about that when he was here. He prophesied things to come, but they usually took those prophecies and used him to attack him, but they didn't get excited about him being a prophet. They didn't raise a stink about it, you know. He was a priest, but they didn't get excited about that either. They didn't raise, you know, any flags, and they didn't protest, you know, that he called himself a priest or acted like a priest. And, hey, there were a lot of priests, just as there had been a lot of prophets. And there were a lot of priests in his day. So that didn't bother him. But the claim that bothered and stirred the Pharisees to demand his death was when he said he was God. Amen. He was God. Now today, there's still people that deny his deity. The Jehovah's Witness deny that Jesus Christ is God. Now, I don't link them among Christian people, all right? But there is even a part of that claims Christianity that denies Jesus Christ is God. They deny the deity of Christ. But our text says, he shall be called the Mighty God. Now, what a thing to say. Unless it's true. Unless it's true. What a thing to say unless it's true. Notice it doesn't say a God, but the Mighty God. Not one, he's not one among many. Not one among many, but the Mighty God. You said, "Preacher, what about that?" I want to preach to you this morning on the Mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand this. And I hope you have your Bible. I hope you keep it open. We're going to turn to several places. I will try to give you time to get there, all right? Unless you take forever, all right? But I'll try to give you time to get there, all right? If you want to go ahead and head that direction, we're going to go to John to begin with, all right? So if you just want to go ahead and get headed in that direction, he is the Mighty God. And I want you to understand, he said he was. He said he was. A lot of people today will claim, and they'll say, "Well, Jesus never said he was God." Oh, yes, he did, all right. Oh, yes, he did. He definitely did. Hey, that crowd that says that just doesn't know their Bible, all right? You look with me, if you will, in John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ made this thing very plain, okay? In John chapter 5, if we will, look in verse 17, would you? John 5, verse 17. "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now go to John chapter 10, would you? John chapter 10. I want you to notice here in verse 30. John chapter 10, in verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, these words will be in red, all right? But verse 30, the Lord said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Hey, listen, you may not have understood what Jesus said, but those Pharisees got it. They understood exactly that Jesus Christ was telling them that I am God. I am God himself. That's what stirred them up so much. Notice the Bible said they picked up stones. They were ready to stone him. And that happened on more than one occasion. And when they went before Pilate, it was, he claims he's God. They knew what he claimed. They knew it. They knew he was claiming to be God. Hey, take your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Now, that's the last book in the Bible, okay? The last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. Notice, if you will, there in verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Here's what he said. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Here it is. The Almighty. He said, I am the mighty God. Hey, he stated it. He stated it plain enough so the Pharisees of his day knew that he said he's God. They got it. Now, you folks may today be so simple-minded that they can't make it out, all right? But the Lord stated it plain enough for anybody to do it. By the way, he also said he was God in what he allowed people to do. Look, if you will, in John chapter 9, all right? Look, if you will, back in John chapter 9. He allowed some people in that day to do something, and because he allowed them to do it with no objection, he was letting them know, I am God. I am God. In John chapter 9, if you will, look at verse 35, all right? John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. But I want you to notice what that last phrase in that verse says. And he worshiped him. Now, you can read the rest of the chapter, but you'll never find Jesus saying, whoa now, you can't worship me. He didn't stop them. He did not stop them from worshiping him. Now, you go through your Bible, you'll find instances in the Bible where people bowed to worship, and the one that they were trying to bow to worship to would say, wait a minute. You don't worship me, you worship God. You worship God. You see, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ did not stop them and prevent them from worshiping him was because he was God. He was God. He's worthy of our worship. He deserves our worship. We ought to worship him, and it's good and it's right to do it, all right? In this case, and many other instances in the Gospels, he allowed people to bow down and to worship him, and he never stopped the one of them because it was right. It was right. Why? Because he was saying, hey, I'm God. I'm God. Now, it was not only the Lord said it, but you read through your Bible, you'll find other people that said he was God. Now, obviously, Isaiah said it, okay? He said, his name shall be called the Mighty God. So Isaiah gave testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is God. John said it. John said it. Go back to John. You're in John there, so we'll go back and turn there. Go back to John chapter 1. I love John chapter 1. That chapter is an exciting chapter, and I can read it over and over again. There's so many places when I read it, I want to just stop and shout a little bit, okay? I really do. It's just an exciting time there. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, capital W. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word, capital W, notice, was God. God. Hey, John said the Word was God. Now go ahead. Yeah, but who's the Word? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because verse 14 tells us. Verse 14 tells us, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, now, y'all may not be members of Mensa. Does anybody here even know what Mensa is? Mensa is the organization of geniuses. Their IQ, there's a minimum requirement. Your IQ has to be so much, and you can join Mensa. It's M-E-N-S-A, all right? I'm a charter. No, I was kidding. But if your IQ is high enough, you can be a member of Mensa. Hey, relax. You don't have to be a Mensa to understand what we just read. You don't have to be a genius to grasp who the Bible's talking about there, all right? I mean, you just don't. The Word was made flesh. There was only one that was made flesh. Oh my! He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's only one that fulfills that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God, okay? And He was manifest. He was made flesh. He dwelt among us. And notice it says, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Surely y'all can put these pieces together. It's not hard to fit them together and know, hey, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus said He was God. Isaiah said He was God. John said He was God. Hey, Paul called Him God. Take your Bible. Let's just go. We've got time. Y'all don't have anything else to do this morning, right? You came to church to hear from the Lord. So notice over in 1 Timothy, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, if you're turning there, you get the 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you're almost there. And then there's 1 Timothy. If you get to 2 Timothy, back up, all right? If you get to Titus or Hebrews or James, you're going too far, back up. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. Oh, notice, here's the Apostle Paul's testimony. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Hey, Paul said Jesus Christ is God. Now, if you get in an argument down here with somebody about it, don't spend a lot of time arguing. Don't spend a lot of time arguing. Look, say, look, okay, I appreciate your opinion, and I believe you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. But if you don't get mad at me, is it okay if I take the word of Isaiah, and I take the word of John, and I take the word of Paul, and is it okay if I take the word of Jesus and don't trust you? He's God. He's God. He said He was God. He said He was God. But if that's not enough, the mighty God, you're not going to be the mighty God and not show it. Hey, not only did He say He was God, but He showed He was God. You just think about it. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ was a revelation to man that He was God. You've got to argue against all the evidence that there is to deny the fact that he's God. You've got to say, no, 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 no. Wait a minute. He revealed it in his omniscience. I like to use a big word every now and then. He revealed it in his omniscience. You say, what's that? That means he knows everything. He knows everything. He's beyond that. He knows it all. He's not like teenagers who just think they know it all right? He's not like other people in the world that just think they know it all. Hey, he knows it all. He knows it all. Now, not just facts. Not just he'd be the best person to have on your team if you're playing Trivial Pursuit. All right? No, not that. His omniscience went way beyond just knowing facts. Look, if you will, in your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I want you to see what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 12, there's an interesting verse here, verse 25, all right? Verse 25, Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus knew their, what's the next word? All right, everybody together. Jesus knew their thoughts. Thoughts. Hey, did you get that? I said he showed he was God by his omniscience. Hey, it wasn't just he knew the facts. Oh, it wasn't just the fact that he knew what was coming. Hey, he knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking. I mean, he was in their presence, and the whole time he knew what was going on with them. Hey, that day when he was dealing with that woman taken in adultery, and he knelt and wrote on the dirt, I guarantee you the Lord knew what was in the thoughts of all those rascals that brought that woman. He knew what they were thinking. He knew. Hey, when that lawyer came and asked him a question, he knew he wasn't really interested in the question. He was interested in trying to trip him up. The Lord knew what he was thinking. Well, why? Because he's God, and if you're God, you're omniscient, and you know the thoughts of people. Not only do you know their thoughts, but you know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to do. Look in John, if you would. Go to John chapter 6, okay? He knows what people are thinking, but not only that, he knows what they're going to do. He knows what they're going to do. In John chapter 6, in verse 64, the Bible said, but there are some of you, the Lord's talking, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew, notice, from the beginning, who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Hey, he knew what people were going to do. You don't know what people are going to do. I don't know what people are going to do. Sometimes I'm amazed by what people do. But the Lord knew what they were going to do. Why? Because he was God. He was God. He showed he was God by his omniscience. But not only did he show it by his omniscience, he showed it by his omnipotence. That is all powerful. All powerful. Would you just stop and think with me a little bit? Go back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is one place that I truly, truly, completely understand this verse. I mean, every verse in the Bible, I cannot tell you I understand it totally. But I understand Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The Lord was out with them, all right? And he's in the boat with them. He's asleep. He's the only one enjoying the cruise. They're all excited, man. The storms come up, and they're afraid they're going to drown. And he's enjoying the cruise. He's asleep, and they wake him up and say, Master, you know, don't you care? We're going to perish. And he stands and just rebukes the wind and the waves, and the wind quit blowing and the waves still out. And I understand verse 27. They marveled. Oh, I would have too. I would have too. I could put myself in their shoes and understand that. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Hey, wait a minute. It wasn't his humanity that they obeyed. It was his deity that the winds and sea obeyed. Hey, his omnipotence proves and shows that he is God. He was able to just rebuke it with a word. With a word. You know, we've seen too many stinking Hollywood movies. And then they always want, you know, throw up their arms, oh, rebuke you. I just think the Lord said, all right, chill. I don't know what he said, all right, you know, and it just says he rebuked the winds and the sea. I don't think he made a big production number out of it. He just rebuked them, and instantly, boy, it was still. Why? Because he's God. He's the God that created the sea. He's the God that controls the sea. He's the God that created the winds. He's the God that controls the wind. His omnipotence. Hey, we see it there in his control over nature. We see it in his healing of the blind man. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 10, we've got the great story of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, that blind man on that road outside the city of Jericho, and Jesus is coming by, and old Bartimaeus hears that he's coming, and he begins to cry out for mercy. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord healed him of his blindness. Oh, listen. Why? That's the omnipotence of God and God alone. You said, well, other people can do it. Find me one. Find me one. Never been. Hey, in some instances, he'd take a blind man and he'd spit on the clay and you know, and he'd make some clay there, that dirt, and he'd put it on his eyes, and he'd say, now, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I guess somebody could say, well, it was a healing power of that dirt. But that day with Bartimaeus, it was okay, receive your sight. Old Bartimaeus went from being a blind man to a mind that could see. Do you ever thought and think, do you reckon he blinked? You know how you are when it's a dark room and somebody flips a light switch on, all of a sudden you're blinded there momentarily? Honestly, I think it was perfect. I think it was perfection. And when God healed him and those eyes opened and they could see, I think his pupils were already adjusted for the light that was there. Hey, he's God. He's God. He showed he was God. Only God could have done that. He had the power to heal the blind, had the power to heal the lame. I think about that day he went down there to the pool of Bethesda, and that whole crowd of folks laid there with all kinds of infirmities. And the Bible said the Lord came up and talked to this man, said, will thou be made whole? And he said, I have no man to get me into that pool. When that water gets troubled, I just can't get there in time. Somebody always beats me in. And the Lord healed him on the spot. On the spot. Hey, an amazing thing. Why? Because he was God. Because he was God. I think about that day he went down to Bethany. John chapter 11. The crowds there. The family of Lazarus is weeping. They're sorrowing. Lazarus dead. They're still in mourning. But Jesus turned up. He ended the mourning, okay? He put a stop to it. He said, you roll that stone away. And he called Lazarus by name. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. So here he came out of that grave. Hey, why? Because he was God. He was God. Only God in his omnipotence could do such a thing. I think of that day the Lord Jesus Christ was there and he had been preaching and teaching all day long. And he went to his disciples and he said, what have we got to feed this crowd? And the Bible said he knew what he was going to do. He was just checking out the disciples, all right? And they said, well, we got one sack lunch. We've got five loaves, a few fish here, you know. We're good. And we just wanted that boy can eat. And in great faith, that disciple said, but what are they among so many? They're nothing, but it's not them. It's the one that held that fat sack, okay? Yeah. It's the one that held those loaves and those fish. That was where the ability lay. And you know how the story goes. The Lord said, you make them sit down, split them out there, And he blessed it, and he began to break those five loaves and those few fish. And as he did that, and he said to the disciples, y'all pass it out. Now, put yourself in the disciples' foot, would you? Think about the laziest disciple. And I'm not accusing anybody. I don't know, all right? I think about the laziest disciple. He said, I'm waiting till the end. They ain't going to last. There won't be nothing to pass out. But man, he kept breaking those loaves, and they kept passing them out. He kept breaking those fish. Everybody had fish and chips that day. Everybody ate. And the Bible said they were all filled. Filled. Not only that, there was leftovers. They had more at the end than they had when they started. Now, I've got some kids in school that can do some math problems and wind up with more when they finish than they had when they started, okay?
Amen.
But let me say this to you. Only God could do that with that sack lunch, all right? Only God could do that. So what are you saying? I'm saying Jesus Christ proved he was God by what he did, by his omnipotence. Hey, listen, there's nothing beyond his power to do. Take your Bible to Luke chapter 9, would you? Luke chapter 9. I don't want you to go home today and say, preacher didn't preach the Bible, okay? In Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, if you will. Look at this, all right? Luke chapter 9, verse 43. You there? Luke 9, verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Hey, he is the mighty God. Nothing beyond his power. Can I ask you, what more is needed to convince you, all right? What more is needed? Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, this is an account of Nicodemus coming to the Lord that night, and he slips in at night to talk to the Lord, and in John chapter 3, here's Nicodemus's testimony. Here's the testimony of a Pharisee. The same in John chapter 3, verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Hey, God was with them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, even Nicodemus recognized the fact only God could do this. Hey, can I point out to you how early that is in the ministry of Jesus Christ? This is the very beginning of his ministry, Nicodemus said. He said, we've already seen enough and heard enough. We know that only God could do what you do. It's only God could do it. Very early on. Oh, listen. He said he was God. He showed he was God. And can I say this to you? He still does. He still does. Oh, my, the wonderful truth that he's still God. And he's still showing it to those that'll come and look. Oh, we're not having a healing campaign. We're not seeing people slain in the aisles. We're not going through all that fakery. But he's still God. He's still God, all right? He rose from the dead. He left an empty tomb behind to bear witness that he is God. That has not changed. You said, well, how's he proving it today? Hey, just a few things. One, he can bring peace to your soul. He can bring peace to your soul. Multitudes of people in our world today are going to see therapists, paying out money, trying to get peace, trying to have some peace in their own heart and life. I want to tell you this. He can bring peace to your soul today. He can give it to you. You upset? You're worried? You're anxious? Well, if you'll come to him, you can find peace. In the Old Testament, we or excuse me, in the New Testament, we saw him calm the storm. The McCamey family used to sing a song that said, sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he just calms me. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm not so much worried about the storm if he'll just calm me in the storm. Amen. What a miracle, what a miracle. That's the miracle of God, that he's able to do it to bring peace to you and me today. Hey, not only that, he still hears and answers prayer. You can still come to him and pray. You know he hears you. You say, well, he's not here. I can't come in person and see him. No, but you can come by faith into his presence and pray and know that that same God that would reach out and call Lazarus from that tomb is the same God that hears your prayer today. And he stands ready and willing to answer that. He's still able to do all that he used to do, all right? His hand is not shortened, okay? He's not any weaker today than he was when he was on the earth. He's still God, all right? He's still God. You say, well, he doesn't heal everybody. No, he doesn't. If he did, we would never let anybody die. Because we're never hardly, we're just not ready to turn loose of our loved ones. I've stood by the bedside of people. And the person is just clinging to life. I mean, there's almost no life at all left. And a family, I'm just not ready to give them up. Glory to God, they're saved. Let them go to heaven. Let them go to heaven. Man alive, listen, I miss my mom, I miss my dad. But my soul, I'm glad they're in heaven. I'm glad they are. So glad they are. Not worried about that. I'd much rather that be that than me going to visit them in a nursing home. I'd not rather them be in heaven. Oh, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm going to tell you, but God still answers prayer. He still come. I'll say this to you. He's still willing to save all that will come unto him and cry for mercy. He'll still save people. Hebrews 7 verse 25 said he's able to save those to the uttermost that will come unto God by him if we'll just come. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, I'm sure glad he does that. We sang this morning that song, you know, I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm, and I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Knife now is sweet. You feel that way? And my joy is complete. Why? Because I'm saved. Man, I'm saved. I go to the store and people say, how you doing? I say, man, I'm having a time. And they laugh. They act like I'm just joking with them. I'm telling them the truth. I'm having a time, buddy. I'm enjoying life. I tell them life's exciting. And I have some of them say, oh, sure. Well, it is. You're just living the wrong life, you know? Hey, listen, that God that I serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the mighty God. There's only one limit to him. One limit. You said, what is it? Matthew chapter 13. One limit, one thing limits God. It's not because he's not all powerful. He is all powerful. And he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But here's the problem. Matthew chapter 13, look at the very last verse there. The Bible says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Preacher, why don't those things happen to me?
Come on, yes, sir.
I didn't say it.
No, sir.
God said it. He said he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. unbelief limited the Lord then, and it does today. This is because we just don't believe Him. We don't believe what He says. Oh man, only believe Him. He can, and He will work in your life. If you'll believe Him, you'll trust Him, you'll come to Him. Jesus Christ is God. Not a God, but the mighty God. He's the God who created. He's the God who forgives. He's the God who saves. And He's the God who sustains. And as Isaiah said it, beside Him, there is no other. None. Hey, is that your God? Is that your God? Are you limiting Him today because of your unbelief? Man, what's wrong with us? We would not believe Him. We'd not believe Him. We've got His book. It's laid out for us. All we have to do is read it and trust Him and call upon Him. He'll answer our prayer. Listen, man, He's God. Don't doubt it for an instant. But don't limit Him because of your unbelief. Hey, what is it you need from God today? What is it you need from Him? Now, I'm not standing here and telling you that praying is like, you know, rubbing the side of the magic lamp and the genie comes out. He's God. He's God. And He knows what you need, and He knows what's best for you. But my Bible still says we have not because we ask not. We ask not. We don't believe Him. Don't believe Him. Oh, listen. What do you need from Him today? Would you come to Him? You said, well, ask once. We'll ask a few more times. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming to Him. You hear, you need to be born again. He'll save you if you'd come to Him. You hear, and you need to seek forgiveness because you failed Him. Hey, he hadn't turned His back on you. He'll receive you. You wandered away, He wants you to come back. Come on. Oh, listen, Christian, you need come to Him. Come to the one that has more power than you can conceive of. Would you come today? Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us this morning? Lord, help us to realize what we need. And Lord, help us to put our faith in You. Lord, not to limit You because of our unbelief. Not to say, well, You won't do it for me. But Lord, You've done it for others. You'll do it for us too. Would You help us today? Speak to every heart. Deal with us this morning. Lord, help us to be honest with You. Maybe there's somebody listening, Lord, through the internet. And Lord, they need to come to You. Lord, they need to bow their head right where they are, and they need to seek You. And Lord, I know You'd answer their prayer. Lord, help us do today what You'd have us do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.